Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. It's a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performances dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. It has been just under a week since the Continental Football Bonanza, the African Cup of Nations, kicked off. And already, there are upsets galore.
Hot conditions, ensuring that it ended in Yamoussoukro. Cameroon 1, Guinea, 10-man Guinea 1.
Silouane. Is this a moment for him to make history? It isn't, because Salah has brought Egypt level. 2-2 deep into stoppage time.
Somehow, put that well wide a goal. So, final score, Nigeria 1, Equatorial Guinea 1.
Il se dessine pour le Cap Vert. Et c'est terminé. Le Cap Vert l'emporte face au Ghana avec panache, audace, talent. Le Cap Vert a cru en son destin. Renverser le Ghana.
From Pretoria to Johannesburg to Witwatersrand, we'll all be paying keen attention. The fan zone, that's at the Royal Bafokeng Stadium, anticipating this, and well, looks like they switch up on penalty taker.
They switched again. The Lion of Judah, Percy Tau. Al Ali steps up, and he balloons it. Much to the cheers of
Equatorial Guinea held giants Nigeria. Multiple winners Egypt salvaged a draw against Mozambique from an added time penalty. Ghana were embarrassed by Cabo Verde, and Cameroon could not see Guinea off and settled for a draw. As if that was not enough, Namibia won their first event game in the history of the AFCON as they triumphed over African giants Tunisia. The results read like a mystery of a top economist who could not produce a PhD certificate. But I digress. Amid all of these upsets, South Africa's Bafana Bafana brought back normalcy into the game by doing what many expected them to do. They lost to Mali yet again. And the skeptics won yet again. Well, as far as I'm concerned, with Bafana, I mean, I think my concern was the inclusion of evidence, Mahopa, in the starting lineup. I mean, evidence who, you ask? Yes, yes, that one. The Orlando Pirates striker contributed nothing more than getting his lip elbowed early in the game. And so, this week, I've asked my friend and colleague, Barimbatu Gorgeous, a.k.a. BBK, Sunday Times Sports Editor, and a football writer of note, a podcaster of note, to give us a skeptic's guide to AFCON. And I say skeptics because we've done idiot's guide to rugby and idiot's guide to cricket. But now, football is followed by skeptics, not by idiots. Matala.
Matala.
Happy New Year.
Complications of the new revolution.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, man. I'm happy you're wearing the right hat.
I've learned from the best. First and foremost, you know, sometimes we take things for granted. Where is this tournament taking place?
This tournament is taking place in West Africa in a country called Ivory Coast. Others prefer to call it Cote d'Ivoire.
Cote d'Ivoire
are hosting only for the second time in their history. And
instead of being these giants in the continent.
Instead of being these giants in the continent, having produced so many great players. Yeah. I mean, you think of Didier Drogba, yeah, one of the greatest strikers ever to come from the continent. Yeah. If you're thinking defenders, Kolo Touré is one of them. And his brother, Yaya Touré. I mean, everybody knows, even Pep Guardiola knows Yaya Touré.
Yeah. Good or bad.
Yeah. So that's where this West African country is the stage for this 34th edition of the premier event, the prestigious Africa Cup of Nations.
And how many teams are participating, or countries?
Countries that are there are 24. This is the first time that we have such a big number. No, it's not 16. Wow. It is 24. And all the top two teams from the groups are going to go through to the last 16. But from the six groups, and you take all the 12, top two, you're not going to make 16. So the best four third-placed countries are also going to go through. So if we were to borrow the parlance of the African National Congress, we'll say those four teams are going to make it through the eye of the needle.
But it's a star-studded AFCON, right? I mean, even some arrive by private jet.
Listen, that one called Onana chooses to play a match for Manchester United in the EPL.
Yeah.
And leaving him to arrive only on the eve of Cameroon's opening match. And then he tends to be a spoiled brat. You will recall what happened at the World Cup with Cameroon in Qatar when he had a passed up with the coach, Urigo Besong. And he actually stormed out and he was expelled from the camp itself. And you would have thought maybe him having been reintegrated back into the team, rehabilitation, whichever term you choose to use, you would have thought maybe, listen, there is a reason why this word team is an abbreviation.
Yeah.
Because it is together everyone achieves more. And there is no I in the word team, even in we.
Yeah.
You and I are here, it's you and I, but we are together in this thing. So Nana needs to calm down, needs to stop throwing his toys out of the court, he needs to believe and understand that he is not the next best thing after sliced bread. But yeah, he's not the only one.
Shall we cut him some slack? I mean, it's traumatic playing for Man United lately, you know? So he's probably traumatized.
Maybe he's disturbed. I will think so. I will think so. What is it called? A theater of nightmares?
Yeah,
it is
right?
A bad thing, yeah. he's a great goalkeeper. Everybody knows what he did with Inter Milan. Yeah. You know, we all know what he can do. But Cameroon has had a great goalkeeper before.
Exactly.
Idriss Kamen. He never, ever, ever
behaved this way.
And he was the best and remains one of the best. Speaking of stars, staying in England, there's a guy who comes from Egypt. His name is Mohamed Salah, a record breaker of note, a man who has scored no less than 20 goals in the EPL, a man who has once shared the top goal scorer in England with his former teammate Sadio Mane, another star who is at this tournament.
Who didn't arrive late on private jets.
He did not
they
arrive
both
late
arrived
on
time for their
they
clubs.
All arrived on time and they've won so many trophies in their careers, which Onana can never even lay claim to. Yeah. But Sadio Mane is the defending champion. He led Senegal to victory at the last AFCON against Salah, against Egypt.
Yes.
So they would want to be a nation that is not going to row only once. It was their first triumph at this. But it is something that Salah craves so much, Rams. He craves it so much because twice he has fallen. Twice he has played in the final, twice he has lost. Despite Egypt having won this thing for 7 times.
So he's got a Messi complex.
He's got a Messi complex, if you want to put it that way. But he cried. He cried tears, you know, at that final. I think the script was such that he was going to take the final penalty for Egypt and score the winning goal.
Yeah.
And as fate will have it, it was Mane who scored the final penalty for Senegal. Salah never got to take a penalty. But it is a tournament also that is seeing a lot of players who are coming to say, hey, for the first time in this administration of that gentleman who puts his finger
in
like
the 7-0.
Comba 7, president of Cape Patrice Motsepe, with so many television broadcast companies having bought the rights to show
this
continent.
I was going to go to that, but, you know, I mean, really, this thing should matter or something about it. I mean, we had the World Cup, the Rugby World Cup, we had the Cricket World Cup. And then it must be cheap, right, for even the cash-strapped SABC to get the rights to AFCON.
We have friends at the Faulty Towers. Be careful. But listen, It is significant what has happened with the CAF broadcast rights this time around, simply because if you look at the history of what has happened with the competition in previous administrations, particularly that of the longest serving Issa Hayato of Cameroon, some companies from the West, from France in particular, used to get these rights for a shilling. And they never really gave AFCON the prestige that it deserved.
Yeah.
And it was difficult to access. And it was not money that came back into CAF's coffers for the development of football, for the growth of the sport. Because why are we doing this to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
We are doing this to make sure that we stop being like the stepchild of world football. We can be able to put ourselves on the same footing as South America,
and
as CONMEBOL.
And simple, good facilities. I mean, I'm looking at the pitches now. They're brilliant, right?
They
now we're no longer doing those mess.
Artificial turfs and all of that.
Those pitches are so beautiful
it is
now.
What the money that comes into football must go back into football development, to a point where I argued in the piece that I wrote for the Sunday Times last week that we need to be able to have facilities that are so world-class and leagues that are so professional that our best talent can start playing in Africa.
Yes.
Imagine a Sadio Mane playing for Kaizer Chiefs, Mo Salah playing for Orlando Pirates.
I can.
Well, the future Sadios and future Mo Salahs. You can imagine Mo Salah. Those future ones must be able to actually look at the Premiership, Premiership here in South Africa as a destination to come to.
Now, I introed this conversation with you on the results that we've seen in the last few days.
Yeah.
Could we have ever predicted these results?
You know, this is the thing about football. Whoever said this was the beautiful game of billions needs to get a kamanga, maybe. You know, because they came up with something that actually resonates with everyone, no matter which continent you are in. There are different sporting codes, Rams and everything else, but there's a reason why football is followed by everyone around the world, you know.
We know that.
So there's always going to be those who come into any contest as favorites, as champions, as people who are expected to be there at the top.
Yeah.
And then there will be your also-rans, and then there will be your underdogs.
Yes.
There will be your bridesmaids. So now, when you look at the opening game, you're thinking, Ivory Coast, what's going to happen here? This is going to be a good game.
Yeah.
You need to be able to set the tone as a host nation. You need to say, you have come here, I've opened up my house for you to come and celebrate, but in the end,
this trophy is
going to stay here.
Yeah.
So it was important for them to send out that message with that victory of theirs. And out of that, you're thinking maybe Nigeria are like, Oga, we no go win AFCON now for so long. We last won in 2013 in South Africa. Maybe it's time for us to do something. But hey, my friend, they got a wake-up call, eh?
But isn't it consistent of them? They always start slow, right? They never start on a high.
I think you are far right in saying that. But at the same time, you are saying that this is 2024. Right?
Things are different.
It is AFCON 2023 because of the virus and everything else. But things are different. And 2013 is a long time ago, my friend. You need to say, I'm going to do something that is going to send a strong message even to those who are no longer with us, like Stephen Keshe, the big boss, the last man who won AFCON and also coached Nigeria to claim the title, to say, listen, big boss, we are not that far down. We are Nigeria. We are super eagles. And we still have that arrogance. We still have that step, you know, in our foot. And we
stars.
Still know.
They've got big stars.
They have. Yeah. They have. I mean, look at Victor Osimhen.
Yes.
I mean, what a fantastic season that he had last season at Serie A for Napoli, helping them to win the league for the very first time in donkey's years.
In Youngs.
I think Maradona.
In the stadium that was named after the man who last won.
Exactly. You know? Maradona himself. I'm sure he was smiling. You know, I'm not sure if there was anything going up. Anyway, I'm digressing.
Okay, I want to mute this conversation for the answer you're gonna give me for the next question.
Right.
And then Bafana. I mean, really, me. I am not as much clued up about this game as you are, but I think we had them first half. Forget even about the penalty. I think we had the game in the first half. What then happened?
Bafana happened. You know, in one of the pieces we did in the Sunday Times previewing AFCON, I stated that what really, really worries me is, given Bafana Bafana's bipolar nature, I'm not sure which one are going to show up,
at
Ivory Coast. Reason being, Rams, we've played World Cup qualifiers under Hugo Bruce. We've played AFCON qualifiers. We didn't qualify for the World Cup, but there was a game that we played against Ghana.
Yeah.
Particularly the one that we played away in the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
If you appreciate football and you appreciate the fact that Bruce was still putting together a team, he's been there now for what, two years, 4 months. Yeah. He was still putting things together, and the kind of performance that Bafana produced there. Let's forget about the controversy penalty and whatever else.
Happened, right?
They happen in football.
Yeah.
You know, when it happens in our favor, we celebrate. I don't know anyone who said, no, referee, no, we don't want the penalty. But anyway, you come back and you go to the game that they played in the AFCON qualifiers in Rabat against Morocco. And you look at the performance that they promised, they put there. It was polished. You come back to when they played Morocco after Morocco had finished fourth at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar when they hosted them in FNB.
Yeah.
What did you see? It was wonderful to watch.
Exactly.
You were saying that something is coming together nicely here. So when they land, what are they going to do? First half, you are quite correct. We played a game that we all wanted to see Bafana play. In fact, before even we got the penalty that Percy Tau sends to Mas,
yeah.
I think Diogo, what is his name? Baggio,
yeah,
the Italian. I think his penalty is a competition in the Roberto. But now, before that, before even the penalty, there was a chance.
Yes.
You know, that Percy got. When you look at it, hindsight is always the best science. Maybe, who did you say? You were surprised was in the lineup? Evidence.
Maybe he would have scored it. Right?
If you go back to the video, you will see evidence of the fact that if Percy had maybe laid that ball to Evidence, he was free. He was free. All he had to do was to
tap it in.
You know, it didn't happen. So Percy misses the penalty. Now, what happens? I'm no professional soccer player, but you can imagine if you do something that big at a stage so big, you're going to have things playing out in your head. And partly, if not most, you want to do one thing, to correct the mistake that you've done. And when you get into that zone, then you become haphazard in everything that you do. Because I saw another incident where a cross came from the right. I think it was from Motiba. What happened was Percy headed the ball. Didn't have so much power and pace to the header. It went straight to the keeper. At the very same, Evidence was standing right behind him. But give Evidence a bit of, you know, kudos. That penalty that we missed, that Senegal captain elbowed him.
Yeah, it did.
You know? And thank God
that there was
VAR in this tournament.
Yeah.
That was a great contribution.
Yes.
If we converted that chance, things could have turned differently.
I believe whoever scores first runs the show, right? So I don't even believe it would have been 2-1 necessarily in their favor. If we score first, we change the game.
Because we had them. We had them. They had Yves Bousoma in their midfield. He was substituted. And that's when the game turned for me. Because if you look at the guy who came in as his replacement, because every time he had the ball, Bafana Bafana were like hounding dogs. They were like there. 1, 2, 3 players on him.
Yeah.
He was non-existent. But when their coach noticed that it looks like these guys are enjoying so much ball possession, because even in midfield, when we do get it, we are not able to put our foot going forward. Let me withdraw him, bring in the other guy, and then things started to change. And also the other thing maybe is it's good to be confident on the ball. It's great. And you can see what is happening with the majority of the Sundowns players that are there on the pitch. It helps with the team cohesion.
Because
they know each
other.
Together. They've worked together. They're a group. It's not something new. You will recall that when Spain ruled the world from 2008, 2010 to 2012, when they won Euros sandwiched by the World Cup in between, they were 90-70% Barcelona players.
Yeah.
A couple from Real Madrid, Fernando Torres from the great Liverpool, of course. And that is something that Hugo Bruce had to do. Because Rams, our pool of talent in terms of playing at the top level is scarce.
But our own colleague, and dare I say, partly our own boss, Bongani Koko.
Yes.
Then posts that, you know, we've got this host of young people playing football all over the world.
Yep.
And none of them is called up.
Yep.
We have now this cohort of one team. Of course, part of it is that he doesn't like that one team. Mm-hmm. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Why do we not have... Who are these young people who are playing all over the world that we're not having in our team?
They are young South African footballers who mostly have left South Africa not having played in the Premier Soccer League.
Yeah.
Maybe the parents believing that the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe the opportunities are bigger that side. You would have had a couple of them playing for a team like Leicester City,
yeah,
long before they were relegated. You would have had some of them playing at Southampton. You have a whole host of them playing maybe in your Belgian leagues and all of that. But when there is no foundation, a house cannot stand. We have a tendency of building a house from the roof. And if we want to do it on the ground, we go and do it on a quicksand. When I say we, I mean those people who sit there by NASREC, South African Farmers Association. And you will see that what has happened with Bafana, when we went back, and let's not forget, we hosted 1996 AFCON by default because Kenya pulled out because they were not ready. It's not our problem. We hosted. They will say there by the flag that is green, white, and green that you won because we were not there. That is Nigeria. It is not our problem.
Yeah.
They must not talk to us about that. They must talk to Sani Abacha about that. They must not get themselves. So we won.
Yeah.
Called in 96 on the pitch.
Yeah.
On the pitch. So we only lost one game to Egypt, right? So we go and defend it in Burkina Faso, 98.
Yeah. We lose in the finals.
We lose in the finals, silver medal. Yeah. And then coming after that, for the very first time, AFCON is co-hosted by Ghana in Nigeria. We finished third, bronze medal, Trott Mulotu. We lost to Nigeria in the semifinal at the Surulere Stadium in Lagos. I think the tears that I had that day are tears that I only had when my first child was born. You know, because there were tears not of sadness, but of pride in the way that we did things. But it was also mixed emotions. Because in the end, I was kind of like, but this slippery slope is continuing from gold to silver to bronze. And then after, you know this.
But the bronze performance, we were playing amazing football then.
I just think we
found stronger teams, but we were playing amazing football.
We were, which goes back to what we were talking about. It's because of the players that we had. Because the players that we had were Lucas Radebe, were Philemon Masinga. Lucas captaining Leeds United. Phil Masinga being a man who is making marks in Italy for Bari.
Yeah.
Right? You had your Sean Bartlett who was playing overseas.
Yeah.
You had a Mark Fish there in the team.
Yeah.
You had a Shuzmoshi who was dancing. And I think
that's my point about local versus... You got players who are playing in the top leagues. And that's what, if you look at Senegal and Ivory Coast, and these guys play in the leagues that are tough. And when they come here, they know what it takes.
I say, if a player is performing and is performing amazingly in the PSL, it deserves to be in Bafana Bafana. So we must look at the fact that why is it that Bafana Bafana today have only one player who plays in a properly recognized league, the EPL, that is Lyle Foster, who is not
even in the team.
So in the absence of Lyle Foster, there should have been somebody else. Motiba plays in France, in Ligue 1, but he's not there in the team as well. So what are we saying about people that we are taking out of the country? Where is the talent? What is the level of competition in the Premier Soccer League?
So could this be the reason why, of all the World Cups that we've had, at least three top tournaments that we've had in the last few months, that Eskom did not suspend load shedding? I mean, they have no confidence in Bafana Bafana.
You know, I was saying this to my son, that, hey, you remember October, November? Said, I know, Baba, we watch all the rugby, and now it's back. So maybe...
Look, it does save us from not watching disasters. I mean, when...
Maybe that black rubbery thing is not working. Maybe the coal is raining. It's raining. The coal is wet, Rams. The coal is wet. You know.
But in fairness to Bafana, and I want to go back to the other groups.
Yeah.
But in fairness, we had a good run before AFCON started. I mean, we came back, I thought, 11, 10 games undefeated or something like that.
It counts for nothing when all that you've been preparing for is to go to a tournament and perform. So remember, Hugo Bruce said, you can kill me if we don't qualify for AFCON.
Yeah.
We've qualified. And then he said, now we can kill me if we don't get out of the group. So now we play our first game. We don't win. And we have two more games to play.
I think they killed him already yesterday at the end of the game when the Minister of Sport was the one speaking to the players.
You see,
it was a death of some sorts.
You see, he needs to resurrect himself because Namibia won. Namibia won, and a guy who,
through a PSL play,
who plays for your favorite team, yeah. Dion Hoto, 88 minute, right? 88 minute.
Beating Tunisia.
Against Tunisia.
No smaller
and no,
country.
That is no small feat. And this is their very first victory at the tournament itself. Who are we playing on Sunday? We are playing against Namibia, right?
Maybe we should take Shalulile it to Orlando Stadium. That's a special one. Take it to Orlando Stadium.
Shalulile hasn't scored,
yeah.
Right? I don't know if we would have had enough time to rectify the mistakes. When I say mistakes, I mean the overconfidence of trying to play from the back.
Mm-hmm.
There are instances where you do it. You don't have to do it all the time. When Ronwen has to just play it forward, he has to do that. Some carelessness in terms of losing possession,
yeah. That
is something that needs to be corrected. So there is no two ways about it. On Sunday, Bafana Bafana must beat Namibia in order for Bafana Bafana to continue being in the competition. Because if you are going to go to the final game against Tunisia, not having scored a goal, not having won a point, you are really leaving yourself now to going to that competition of the eye of the needle to qualify for
hard.
The next round as one of the first four best teams. It will be very hard.
Okay, let's go through group by group. And now I want your expertise about who you think is going to make it to the... Now we're talking about the 12, right? I don't know what about the other four.
Sure.
The 12. and again, for me, this is a skeptic's view of what's going to happen because people are so skeptical about even the top two, not only us.
Yeah.
So Group A, Cote d'Ivoire, Equatorial Guinea, Nigeria, and Guinea-Bissau, we now know Cote d'Ivoire are 3 points up. Who's going to go through? Which two and why?
I will say Cote d'Ivoire, definitely. I don't see them losing. I don't see them moving their foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
I think that the home ground advantage always favors you. It is something that you need to use to your benefit, and the confidence coming from getting off the blocks with the victory.
Yeah.
Nigeria, I think, since you also believe in their theory of starting slow, are going to want to make sure which they make amends. But guess who they are playing next?
Yeah, a bit tricky, right?
It is a bit tricky for them. It is a bit tricky for them because then these are the two teams that are expected to emerge from the group.
Well, with two teams in that group with the name Guinea, this Nigerian team would not want to be the guinea pig of the Nigerians that are get to be...
You said it. You say you grabbed it by the horns, definitely.
Okay, Group B, Cabo Verde, Mo Salah, Mozambique, and Ghana.
You know, I was highly impressed by the performance of Mozambique.
I was shocked, pleasantly shocked.
This is a Southern African country. This is a country that nobody gave a chance coming up against Mo Salah, as you say.
Yeah.
This is a country that is not really a great footballing nation
yes.
in terms of being a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think we're at the same level, given where we've fallen. But that kind of performance is something that, you know what it is, King Rams? But he hasn't felt his leeway.
Yeah.
See, leeway, but see, it reminds me of your team.
Yeah.
Your Orlando Pirates under Costa Papich. He never won a single trophy, bro. But people were coming there calling themselves happy people. And all, because the football, you lose 3-2, you lose 1-0, you lose 2-1, but they gave everything in the 90-minute plus whatever the referee adds. So that is what impressed me so much about Mozambique. And I think it was a bit inexperienced. I mean, if he had just stood behind, you know, that Egyptian player instead of trying to kick, that's all he had to do. You know, they would have been able to get their first victory.
Ranking and form books say Egypt and Ghana, right?
Egypt and Ghana.
What do you think? I think Ghana have just messed up already.
You know what? Cape Verde and Mozambique are not going to be pushovers for Ghana.
Yeah.
Especially when you look in terms of what they did, Cape Verde to Ghana. Ghana has got this thing that I really do not understand. I was happy that Andre Ayew was on the bench. Somewhat, it makes me feel as though he believes that he's the alpha and the omega of the team. Yes, your father was Abedi Pele. He is Abedi Pele. You are not Abedi Pele. You know what I'm trying to say. I mean, Kaiser Mutaung Senior, Kaiser Junior is not. You know, Jomo Sono, Pamuza is not. Yeah. You know. Even though in the case of Jomo, you may say that there was Eric Skara, his father, who was great, and Jomo was great. It's rare that you get it in that way, you know. So I think that his brother, Jonathan, is a bit more on the calm side, you know. And I think in the manner that they played, this will be a wake-up call for them to say, yes, we've won this thing four times, but again, 1982. Was a very long time.
Very long
was light is that time, you know?
Yeah.
There was a Abedi Pele helping them to gain those. That was their fourth title. They haven't done anything of note since then. Well, if you consider
in fact, their best was then the same as in 1996.
That was it. Yeah. That was it, you know? And the quarterfinals in the World Cup, what we're talking about, AFCON. So I think you are right. My money will be on Egypt as well as Cape Verde. Let me be controversial. But the most important thing, Mo Salah, as he breaks record after record in England every weekend, he's won the Champions League, he's won the EPL, he's won the Super Cup, he's won the Club World Cup.
Top goal scorer now historically for the club.
Leading scorer now in all competitions.
Yeah.
In this current season, the one thing that is going to put him up there with the best in Africa is for him to join the Didier Drogba, to join Samuel Eto'o, to join Sadio Mane, Lucas Radebe, of course.
Neil Tovey, well, was captain.
Oh, yes, you are right. Yes. Lucas was captain when we lost to Egypt in the final in Burkina Faso, correct? So,
okay, Group C. There can't be any debate about Senegal. I'm not sure about the other. I would have said Cameroon naturally. I mean, they did well. I mean, they even, you know, we know what happened in the previous tournament where they played. They were just amazing. But I didn't like this start, and I'm worried.
I think there's going to be more problems. I don't know when the reports say that when Onana arrived, Rigobert Song didn't even speak to him and stuff. And then Onana, I read the report saying that if I was not going to play, then why did they come here? There are actions in that camp, you know, which is something that you feel sad about, because I think it is a country, when it comes to football, many of us growing up as we look back to Roger Miller making that dance in the corner flag, Cameroon beating Argentina. And you think the Lions, the indomitable Lions, you want that spirit, you know. When someone like Onana comes with this disruption, it worries me.
World Cup where they were wearing onesies.
Yes. You know, Cameroon always do, you know, spectacular stuff. But there's Samuel Eto'o there. There's Eto'o as president of the Football Association. There's Rigobert Song.
Yeah.
These are the guys who actually contributed to the world knowing Cameroon as a football nation, a great football nation. Yeah. They contributed to Cameroon having five titles in their cabinet right now. They need to sit on another town and they need to make a decision. He's disruptive.
Yeah.
You know, he's disruptive. And if this was somebody who not even a mosquito, you know, could get into his net, you would say maybe there is a case, you know. But we've seen the performances, you know, at United. Even the game that he insisted on playing, he conceded two goals.
Yeah.
They drew 2-1 with Tottenham, you know. So it's not like we are bringing a brick wall that is impenetrable, you know. So they need to make a call. And I think that Senegal are definitely going to go through.
Yeah.
Lamine Kamara is the only guy who's got a praise in the tournament so far. We don't have a hat-trick. I think that Sadio Mane needs to start firing. We will see a Cameroon getting its house in order. I think that they will be accompanying Senegal to the last 16.
Good. You know, the group that one would say unfenced, only because we don't know much about, and when I say we, I'm talking about ordinary people like me,
I'm also an ordinary person, by the way.
Well,
I'm an ordinary boy from Chesterfield.
You follow football better than all of us. I mean, other than Algeria, and only because of their size as a country, and having competed in a lot of AFCONs, the other three teams, I don't think all of us know much about them, and I don't even know whether any of us can make a prediction about Angola, Algeria, and Mauritania, and then rather in Burkina Faso.
You know, in 2010, Bafana did not qualify for AFCON. The Sunday Times sent me to go cover the tournament. It was in Angola. I think one of the best games of football I've ever watched was Angola against Mali.
I remember the game.
Angola were leading 4-0. In the last 10 minutes, Mali scored four goals. You know?
Yeah.
But the players that Angola had then, it's the same story as Bafana. You know, they are not at that level. You know, they are like South Africa in the sense that we are throwing so many of our players in the current Bafana squad from Sundowns. They are also taking a lot from Pedro Atletico.
Yeah.
You know, that is the team that is doing very well for them in the Champions League. So you have a situation where you saying that you don't know much about Angola. But it is a tournament also where they're saying, for the first time, Southern Africa has got 5 teams competing in the competition because it has been expanded. You don't want to be remembered as one of those who just added up the numbers at that competition. So quickly, you know,
they started with a draw, which is a good sign.
Exactly,
right?
You know, and also Burkina Faso.
And a draw against Algeria, right? It's not a small draw.
It's a confidence booster, you know. They have a point. Bafana do not have a point. So they have a point. Mozambique has a point.
Yeah.
Bafana do not have a point. Okay. So we'll see what happens with Zambia, you know, when they get into action. And then the other thing is that when you look at that group, you definitely will be thinking that Algeria would want to say, hey, it's not by accident that we are part of the African football castle. We are looking at getting ourselves in a stage where we can lay our hands, you know, on this thing. Mm-hmm. Our neighbors, Morocco, have done it once. Our neighbors, Egypt, have done it 7 times, you know. We are looking at putting ourselves in a place where we can be like Tunisia and say we have won, you know, trophy. So they will be pushing to get out of the group and go to the last 16, I think, with Riyad Mahrez as their spearhead, as is often is in these tournaments.
So Burkina Faso, Algeria?
Burkina Faso, Algeria is my tip.
We're going to skip Group E because we'll finish with Group E.
Okay.
Group F, Maroc, DR Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania.
And the action,
again, I can tell you, I would have easily picked up the first two, right? Morocco and DRC. But I never write of Zambia ever in my life.
You do so at your own peril.
Yeah.
You do so at your own peril. And DRC, don't forget, have won this thing twice in the past, along with Algeria. Algeria will be looking for their third, by the way.
Yeah.
And also Ivory Coast, I think, has also done it twice.
Yeah.
So if you are looking at that group, when you're thinking Zambia, what is the most romantic story about Zambia? It is the team that played in Ivory Coast, winning it, with the guy in a white shirt, Renard.
Yeah.
It is a team that has got a living legend called Kalusha Buala.
Yeah, King Kalu.
King Kalu, who fortunately did not travel with that Zambian team
that perished.
That perished on the coast of Senegal, by the way. And Ivory Coast, you know, you rule out Zambia at your own peril. I like how they play. It's typical of what we do in Southern Africa. Show me your number. But they don't do it in the sense of showboating. They do it going forward. You know, they've got, what is this thing? They say South Africans are what? Resilient. Zambia are very resilient. You know, and they never lose hope. They keep going. You know, and DRC, they punch below their weight, I think. They punch below their weight. And I think, speaking of punching, Tanzania may very well find themselves being the punching bags of that group. So I'm thinking Morocco and Zambia. And Zambia mainly because if Bafana are not going to make it, Namibia and Mozambique and Angola need people to accompany them to the last 16.
Well, Chipolopolo, I think I still have trust in them. Okay. And then Group E. I'm only going to ask you one question about Group E as we conclude.
I'm listening.
Why are we not going to go through?
We are not going to go through if we don't beat Namibia on Sunday. It's the simplest.
The simplest day. Even a draw is enough. It's not enough.
Bro, you get a draw against Namibia and you play Tunisia, right?
Yeah.
Who will be built by whatever result comes out in their game against Mali. So Mali gets 6 points. Tunisia goes and play us. They want to go through.
Yes.
They want to go through, right?
At the very least, as the through the eye of the needle.
You see, yeah. So when South Africa, to go through the eye of the needle, Namibia, it's non-negotiable. Beat Namibia, my bro. Beat Namibia, because if you lose to Tunisia, you will do what you did in 2019 with Baxter. You will go through. Got 3 points, man.
Well,
the calculators are out. We are minging. We are going to visit our doctors.
We have a secret weapon in our bag. It is called the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. He gave them a pep talk, and I'm convinced they heard him.
Focus, discipline.
He's just arrived.
Madala. Thank you very much for your time as usual.
It's always a pleasure, man.
And well, guys, that concludes this episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmavote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast and please share your views about AFCON. Download the MySowetan app and listen to more of my podcast. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live and at
BBK Unplugged 99.
From me, Rams Mavote, 99. Goodbye and God bless.